people who love them.
Hello, this is The Thing About Cars, recording in Strongbox West in Atlanta as usual. Today we're going to do a very special episode with our friends Becky and Becca. This is Becky.
Hiya.
And
Becca.
And everyone, we all know Becca. So for our listener, I wanted to introduce this podcast by saying that this entire discussion around insurance and auto insurance stems from an incident that I got into about 2 months ago. I had a fender bender. I was involved in a fender bender while on a trip out of state. And I was quick to learn that I was dealing with the non-standard insurance company of the other driver who was at fault. And I needed help, and I didn't realize that I had two powerhouses in my Rolodex who could help me figure out how to go about addressing my problems. And that's what leads me to get Becca and Becky on mic to talk about these things. So we've, as usual, got a bunch of stuff on the board, and I think we're just going to dive into it in our normal disorganized fashion. We should probably explain to the listener, what is your history with the insurance world? What have you done? And then let's break it down from there. So what have you done in the world of insurance, Becky?
Well, I currently work for a brokerage in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm working on my CISR designation, which will be completed at the end of 2018, and my CISR Elite, which will be completed hopefully by the summer of 2019, which is kind of a lot. I work in commercial lines, so I deal a lot with big companies as opposed to individuals. But I have wrecked a lot of cars, so I've been on the other end of this as well.
Oh,
and
no.
There you go.
Becca, how about you?
Well, I spent 14 years in the insurance industry. The majority of it was on the commercial side, like Becky, which is handling businesses primarily. It covers property like building, property like contents, property like vehicles. Then you've got your liabilities and all that. I did spend some time in personal lines as well, not necessarily focusing on auto. A lot of it was houses and things like that. But I was a licensed agent. I just recently let that go. I left insurance, and actually I'm a lot more stress-free now.
Well, we have our typical format. We've written a handful of things up on the board. How would you guys prefer to drive this agenda? I mean, should we just jump right in? One of the things that Becky wrote up there was, make sure you read your policy.
Yes.
Do we start there, or do we talk about, in a more general sense, how auto insurance works?
I would think start with just the basics.
Okay,
yeah.
Go for
like
it.
Like that, like with reading your policy and the other one you had up there, how it works in general.
Because we're going to get kind of specific. I mean, I'm looking at the list, and it's going to be, I think, really, really user useful information that we're going to get to in a minute. But you say to me like something like read your policy, and my knee-jerk reaction is to say duh. So
not always as easy as it sounds. There is an awful lot of legal jargon, and they do it for a lot of reasons.
I agree. I think personally they do it just to make people like us lose our hair and have stressful days. But it is important that you read your policy. You're not going to understand it. It's guaranteed that you're not going to understand it. But if you read your policy, you're going to do two things. You're going to have a better idea of what's on there. And then what you don't understand, you're going to want to call your agent and say, hey, explain this to me. And once they do,
there's also insurance, I don't know, shall we call them dictionaries online.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going to be hard to follow. A lot of the jargon that they put in there, though, is to be extremely specific, and it ends up being very cumbersome. But it's just like any legal document. They're trying to be specific, because anything that is considered vague when there is a claim from anybody, vagueness, it always benefits, say, like the driver of a car. It never benefits the writer of the contract. It'll benefit the other person. So it gets very cumbersome just because they're trying to make sure that they've got clarification on their behalf if they have to go to court.
So
right.
it benefits the driver of the car.
Well, it benefits
vagueness.
The insured.
Vagueness. Well, no, because if you were the injured party, but not the insured. When we say insured or named insured, you are the person listed on the policy. So if you are the insured and you've hit somebody, it can still benefit the other party. So we can't rule that down to just the insured.
So in my innate distrust of insurance companies in general, just because dealing with an insurance company probably has never really been a pleasant experience for anybody.
Well,
I look at a policy and I'm thinking, okay, this is a contract that now does two things. It protects the insurance company
mm-hmm.
from me, and it offers services to me that try to protect me from an incident that might involve another driver. Is that not accurate?
To an extent.
Yeah.
Yes, to an extent.
What was I just thinking? I hate that when I just go.
Well, the way I think about it is that your auto policy is a bubble. And it, in a way, that bubble protects everybody that's in your car. Other insurance is not like that. If you're in the bubble, you're not protected because they expect you to have coverage elsewhere on a different policy. But auto's a little different.
So here's how we get into
it. Well, it depends on what type of insurance you have, and maybe that's another good place to start.
It's how auto works, and underneath that is liability versus comprehensive.
Well, you've got to start even more basic, okay. And we probably need to touch on that too. There's liability versus property. Then property is divided into comprehensive and collision, which people will just refer to as comp and collision.
Mm-hmm.
And those are two separate forms of it. And then I know you and I have, were in the discussion with the, what am I thinking of now?
Pizza.
The current incident?
Yes, right. Donuts, actually. Donuts. I wanted to stop for donuts. I was already running late.
Oh, man. I wish I'd known.
What do you call it? The uninsured and the underinsured driver, which can, it falls under there, but can be separate.
Yes. Well, the way I was taught, and this is going to get down even to the more basic bits and pieces, there are four parts to every insurance policy out there. We call it DICE. You have your declarations page,
mm-hmm.
your insurance clause,
mm-hmm.
your conditions,
mm-hmm.
your exclusions, and your endorsements.
Always watch out for your exclusions and endorsements.
Those especially.
Those will get you.
This
now,
helps. Okay.
Yes. So your declarations page, what that is, it's naming the date and time that the insurance begins and ends.
Also known as the effective and expiration dates.
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear them referred to that way.
Who's insured, also known as the named insured.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get what is being insured and the general amounts, like your annual aggregate. Now, your annual aggregate is how much total they are willing to risk on you.
It's
total.
It's a pool. It's a lump sum.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you're going to get that in any one incident. It's the total payout of the policy. So basically the declarations page, also known as just a deck page. Let's stick there, the deck page. It's giving you the bullet points of the policy.
Okay.
The nitty gritty, the basic info of what you need to know right away without all the jargon.
Oh, and just as a side note, I had a friend who changed insurance policies because of some major neglect on her former agent's part. If another insurance agency ever asks you for their deck page, don't do it. They don't need that information. They need to go from their quotes and get those to you. So just throwing it out there too. Your insuring clause is basically the legal document saying, hey, we are going to insure you under these conditions. Well, not these conditions, but we're just going to insure you for what's stated on the deck page, and this is legal now.
And it's usually template pages
mm-hmm.
that they insert depending on the coverages.
Boilerplate.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a boilerplate. I mean, they'll fill in limits, but it's the stereo instructions basically explaining here's the type of coverages under this policy.
Yes, the conditions get a little more specific, and they're going to tell you a little more about what they do and do not. Mainly, your hazards are in there, your perils are in there, and then comes the fun part, and this is the part that you need to be...
Wait, back up.
What's a hazard?
Okay. A lot of people aren't going to know hazards and perils.
Yeah, my bad. A peril is something like hail or fire, theft, big things. Hazards are things that contribute to perils. So if you're insured against fire, but you're keeping a big old can of kerosene in the basement, that's a hazard. So just to throw that definition out there. But the big one are going to be your endorsements and your exclusions. Obviously, exclusions are things that they're not going to include no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
But your endorsements are the things that they are adding to your policy.
Mm-hmm.
What we like to say in our brokerage is that the underwriter giveth and the underwriter taketh away. So
you're going to be getting all of this stuff in your insuring clause and your conditions, then they're going to take it all away, mm-hmm. and then they're going to throw some endorsements
and we did.
Your way.
Oh, I didn't mention that I did underwriting, did I? I didn't specifically say what position I was in, did I?
So she's the reason.
Okay. So we've talked about why it's important to read your policy. We've mentioned quick segments on what sections of the policy I should be looking for and what they might or might not say. We've kind of generally touched on how auto works and the difference between, what was it, Becca? Collision versus something else?
You mean the collision?
Comprehensive versus.
Comprehensive collision,
yeah.
In the endorsements area where they're adding things, they can add additional insureds.
Yes, very important, guys.
Not to be confused with the named insured or just sometimes called insured. Additional insured, so let's say your Mazda has been financed through Mazda financing and you haven't paid it off. Mm-hmm. They are going to be the lien holder on that, which means that if there's a total payout, you're not necessarily going to be getting that check because you've got
you owe money on the car.
An additional insured on the policy.
Right.
So depending on the relationship and what's stated on the policy, that's going to affect things at the end as well.
Also, financial services can be listed as loss payee.
Yes.
The way our wording goes is Acme Financial Company is listed as loss payee and additional insured on the auto policy in regards to your 1999 Toyota Camry.
So it just means that they have a, what's the word I'm going for?
They have an insured interest.
Insurable interest, yes. There's another word.
We're going to need to publish a dictionary of our own here, or at least publish a link to a good insurance dictionary.
I'm sure we could find one. Yeah. It would be massive.
Because I think that's the thing that takes the average person away from policy reading. I don't think it's the actual nature of the policy. It's all the terminology that no one knows how to.
It's a pain
to differentiate. Yeah,
and they really do use herein, where to, for a lot. It's a joke, but it really is. And if you ever look at a policy, one of the jokes I used to have with my friends, I actually would use algebra in every day, because if you actually look at a policy that explains how things were calculated, you will see algebra in there.
Too funny.
So it's.
You'd never think it would be in an insurance contract, but yeah.
Not all of them go that far to show you how to calculate things, right. But I've seen a number of them that do, so.
Especially property policies. Oh,
yes.
My God.
So I'm wondering if we ought to tackle the rest of the list with examples. Like, let me just summarize these for the reader before we actually delve into any one of them. On the board are topics that are stated value versus agreed upon value, ACV versus RC. What's that mean, Becca?
Actual cash value versus replacement cost.
And then the next item on the list is standard and non-standard markets for insurance. And then Becca also says, hey, don't call it an accident. Mm-hmm. And then what to do after you have one. So how do we...
Well, before we get too specific as well, something else we had mentioned, you've got the liability and the property.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that gets me, mm-hmm. Georgia is a liability-only state, which means that to legally drive your car, you are only required to own a liability policy. And there are so many people that completely understand what this means.
Mm-hmm.
What liability does, it doesn't protect you at all. It protects everybody else from you.
Right.
So
you're basically self-insuring for yourself and your property.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And like, so if I'm driving down the road in my liability-only Mazda and I have a wreck with the limousine, my company will help the limousine route, but I'm
don't just say wreck though.
Oh.
And what I mean, not that the word wreck is an accurate word.
I'm trying to come up with a generic.
Let's say you're at fault. This is where it really plays in.
Mm-hmm.
That you run a red light and you have that wreck with a limousine. Okay, so you are at fault. You've been cited for it. The liability is going to help the limousine, the physical car itself, the driver, occupants, owner, whoever has an insurable interest in that vehicle, anybody who's been harmed, that's where the liability is going to play in.
Mm-hmm.
It does nothing for the owner of the liability policy.
So me and my car, we're done. Yeah.
Now, you're adding on. I'm trying to be based.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, we're not adding on at the moment. Because I'm assuming you're thinking about medical payments.
Well, I'm thinking about legalities, but go ahead.
Yeah, let's keep it simple and then let's complicate it, right?
Right. Then you have your property coverage, just as an umbrella term, property coverage. That is what is protecting the person listed on the policy. So if you have property coverage on your Mazda and you are involved in a wreck, we'll take it from the point of view of, again, the same one, you're at fault. The property portion is what's going to kick in and help the Mazda. It's going to repair the Mazda. And I'm saying it that way because there's other portions of a policy. There's medical payments, and that's what kicks in when you are injured, when you are at fault.
I see Becky nodding her head. Is that what you were getting at, Becky?
No, but I'm agreeing.
And I'm trying not to muddle it too much because you can go in so many different directions. That's the problem.
Okay. Yeah.
But that is covered under collision. We had mentioned the comprehensive and collision. Collision is literally when your vehicle has struck something. It doesn't matter what you strike. If your vehicle is in motion and you have struck something, it's a collision.
Okay.
Now, if something strikes your car, this is also where things can be more confusing for people that haven't done insurance. A lot of what we'll refer to as acts of God. Some policies will actually refer to it as that. If a tree falls on your car.
Sure.
If there's a hailstorm, your windshield cracks. Yes, we have some pictures over here. Tornadoes, you name it. If your car is sitting there minding its own business and whack.
Yeah.
You know, that's when your comprehensive kicks in.
We're laughing because a tree actually did fall on Becky's car one day.
Yes. Oh, yeah. so that was a personal picture. Yeah. That wasn't just a random internet picture.
No, no. Actually, when we got the tree off of it, I texted a picture to my boss and my coworkers. I said, "Do you think it'll buff out?" And we had a good laugh. But
so they totaled both of them in that case, though.
Totaled both cars, and it's right, quite an adventure. But
so totaling a car should also. I mean, it seems obvious, but maybe we should talk about that too. So. Having covered all that, is it now time to jump into the rest?
One thing I think I should mention also,
because so
in that example we were giving, you were the only person in the Mazda. The medical payments in your car will also cover occupants in the vehicle, at least until liability is decided and things like that happen. So the medical payments help everybody in your car.
Okay.
Also, if you're not at fault, your insurance can kick in to cover gaps. If their medical, someone else is at fault and their medical payments run out and there isn't something else kicking in the meantime, yours can cover a gap. And then the uninsured and underinsured I had mentioned was a bit separate because you can elect that even though it's a comprehensive coverage. It's an option you can choose even if you only have a liability only coverage. And what that does is in the event that you've been hit by someone who has no insurance, which is sadly not that uncommon, there's also underinsured. So it's referred to as UMUIM. If a person hits you and your car is $30,000 and they cover up to $20,000, which is very rare anymore. There are state minimum requirements, but still, if there's a $10,000 gap in payments, your insurance can also kick in with UMUIM.
So if I'm driving around a Ford, you know, a classic collectible Ford that's valued at like $80,000, I should make sure I don't have a liability only policy.
My advice, what I've been told by every person in the industry that I've ever spoken to, don't ever get just the liability and don't ever just get minimums. Get as much as you can and keep it.
Really?
Because you just never know when that thing's going to happen. And when they cover it, it's not going to be enough anyway.
Right.
They're not going to cover stuff on the inside of the car.
Well, now maybe it's a good time to talk about why we're actually having this discussion today.
Unless it's physically attached to the vehicle.
Yes.
But yes, it's usually a contents off of your homeowner's or rental insurance that covers the contents of your vehicle.
So what I was saying a second ago was I had an accident about 2 months ago prior to this recording. And for years and years, I've only ever carried a liability-only policy. It's cheap. You know, I still have standard insurance, and we'll get into standard versus non-standard here in a minute. But, you know, I had it with a reputable company, liability only policy, uninsured motorist waiver attached. And for years and years, it was the way I saved money on my insurance needs. It got me legal, and I'm a decent enough driver that I'm not going to go out and cause an accident, right? The odds of that happening are way smaller than actually someone else causing an accident.
But other people's bad driving can still cause you to be at fault.
Right.
If you swerve to miss these people,
right.
I mean, we won't dig into that, but you've seen Atlanta drivers.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I've seen Atlanta drivers, and for the last decade or more, I've actually had a liability-only policy, and it's never made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And that's once we had this accident and once I started to deal with a non-standard insurer is when I reached out to Becky and Becca here to talk about what needed to happen for my own insurance case. And that's what leads to this actual topic for this podcast. And I am going to agree with you. I think you're right. I think it makes sense to have a more comprehensive policy than just liability only.
Mm-hmm.
However, there was a point that you made a second ago that I was going to try to touch back on. You know, we keep getting lost in the weeds on this topic. Every time we try to drill down, it's like...
There's so much that can pop up in your head. Yeah.
I mean, we're kind of staying on track. And I glaze over every single time we start talking about exclusions. And,
and it's easy to do.
Yeah.
And not even... also, what you had mentioned as far as just driving and not causing accidents or any of that... We live in the second tornado alley, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you're running around on liability only, you don't have that comprehensive, and they had the trees come down. We have tornadoes here all the time.
Yep.
You know, depending on which county is.
So we still haven't touched on your list, Becca. I mean, how do we want to proceed with this?
Well, I was listing a lot of things that were more specific, sometimes not applying to everybody. You had mentioned the standard versus non-standard just a moment ago. Your standard market, somebody like State Farm, Nationwide, these are mainstream insurance companies. They're required to have what's called filed rates.
Mm-hmm.
So the rates that they are applying to come up with your premium, they are filed with the state. And it's each individual state. There's an insurance commissioner in every state that regulates things, can change laws state by state, which is a problem if you're driving through different states sometimes. But they're going to be a little more by the book. In the box. It's very common for us to refer to as inside the box and outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get into non-standard, things can be more on a whim. I almost hate to say this because there are good people in the industry. However, I will fully admit that there are people that will tack on pain in the ass fees to your policy if there are people that will do it.
Yep.
It's open to them choosing the rate. Choosing what's called credits or debits, which is increasing or decreasing your rate, and they can add fees on.
So what are the things that I should be looking out for to avoid these things?
Read the policy. It has to be listed. If we add, no, we're not going to call it a pain in the ass fee, but you might see a fee listed somewhere. What's this fee for? Why am I paying this fee?
And they are required to answer your question.
Okay.
Yes.
Speaking of answering questions, when you have... a collision, or if something happens where your comprehensive kicks in and you don't understand it, call your agent and make sure you mark down what they say, date and the time, because there's something called apparent authority. And this is why we have to be so careful when dealing with clients.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to back up a little bit on that. Not just mark down everything they say. Follow up every single conversation with something in writing. Nowadays,
yes.
Email and say, per our conversation, I want to make sure I understand you. And you list that out. If you get an affirmative email back or even a non-response in the... I can't even just say the legal or the insurance industry, but legally, if they don't respond and contradict you, then it's considered affirmative. So that's a really good way to have it in writing and affirmed.
So you said email works for this or not?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Email is, and it's much easier to track, actually, because when insurance companies go to court, all those digital records are easier to pull than...
What stops an insurance company from just denying that they ever got my email?
You have the proof that you sent it.
Yes. If you have one that you can prove was sent, and obviously ISPs and things like that can even be dragged into court cases. But if you've got an email that you can print out that shows headers and all that those letters and numbers mm-hmm. that don't always mean something, prove that a document was sent. Mm-hmm. They can also pull the records of that company and see that, oh yes, here was an email and they thought they deleted it.
Okay.
It's come up more often than you think.
How would you guys feel about splitting this into two different podcast episodes?
I think that'd be great.
Okay. Because I think what we ought to do is walk through the rest of this using an example of what happens in the minutes and hours. So let's do that. Okay, so this has been The Thing About Cars. We're going to do a second chapter on the whole insurance thing, so stand by, and we will see you guys in about a week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.